Stu Epperson, I am in Panorama City, California. I am on the campus of Grace Community Church right now. Now, you're hearing this show probably late at a later date, but I'm standing in the midst of greatness. All these godly men are here, and just the guy just walked up to me who was on my basketball team in college, who is now a shepherd, a pastor in Indiana. Is that right, Kirk?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Kirk Welch, dude, tell everyone what's happening here. Set this up for us.
Surrounded by about 4,500 pastors all in the same place. We're going to sit under the preaching God's word all week and sing and worship and enjoy great fellowship, getting reconnected with old friends like Stu Epperson.
Unbelievable. So I just walked into this thing. John Cox, who I've known forever, who went to Master Seminary. You're here too. You pastor in Fresno, right? Describe the feelings of being here, John.
Well, after growing up here and being impacted by God's truth here, it's amazing to come back and to be able to be encouraged to continue that in our own lives as well. And that's what you need. You got to be able to not just just receive it. We're not just givers of grace. We're receivers of grace. And pastors need to receive it. And so that's one of the blessings we have this week.
So the guy who kind of pastored this church for like 50 years, McSmalley, or John something. What's his name? He's like the pastor here. He's kind of like, in a way, he's the senior shepherd here.
Yeah, I think his name is John MacArthur.
John MacArthur. Yeah. I knew I was reaching for it.
Yeah, man. You were close. You had it.
How about that guy, man?
Amazing, man. To be under his influence for so many years, going back to when we were kids, 18, 19 years old, and getting trained in a place like this under his leadership. It's been a gift that's impacted my life ever since.
Well, now, John, Kirk and I have something in common. We both came from North Carolina, mm-hmm. right?
Right. Greenville, North Carolina.
Greenville, North Carolina, Winston-Salem. And coming over, David, this is another national talk show. This guy's ratings are like three times more than mine. And mine are about to go up just because he walked up. But so people, but we, so we, we've been, you came here to the college and that really changed your life, I guess. Tell us a little bit about, like, so many people can identify with just the impact of John MacArthur, this deep look at the word, you know, unleashing God's word one verse at a time.
Yeah, I mean, I came here with the plan of studying to become a pastor, and I grew up in the church as a pastor's kid, but really was not exposed to expository preaching much until I got here. And just the commitment to the fierce, deep study of the word of God and making sure that you interpret it correctly and you communicate it faithfully with boldness and love. Really set the course for my whole life and my ministry as a pastor for the last 25 years.
That is something. And you played some ball too, didn't you?
Play some ball, yeah. I'd like to spot up now on the three-point line. That's about it.
He can drop some threes. He can drop some serious threes. But you're pastoring where now? Because we are carried, Truth Talk Weekend is carried on the Wilkins Radio Network. Tell us, we're in Indianapolis, right?
Indianapolis, church called Cornerstone Bible Church on the north side of Indianapolis.
And the guy that coached us, it goes to your church, right?
He lives right there next to the church, yeah. So I see him all the time, Coach Mel Hankinson, yep.
And the reason he came to Masters was John MacArthur. He just heard that Bible teaching. He's like, you mean I could? I mean, he had offers from the Bucks. He had offers from NBA teams, big college teams. And Coach Hankinson, if he were here standing with us, he'd say the same thing. You mean I could go sit under John MacArthur and coach basketball?
Yeah.
And recruit guys like Stu Epperson and even better shooters like Kirk Welch?
Whatever. I practiced a lot. You played. I practiced.
No. So, but anyway, what an awesome heritage, and it's so significant. Now, I want you guys to meet Kirk. This is David Wheaton, who's a national talk show host with a program called The Christian Worldview. And it's interesting, you know, you would think David would be out here, you know, roving around with a mic and, you know, jockeying and getting books signed. But he's just, you told me a second ago, you're sponging it in, aren't you, brother?
Very much. My brother and I have been coming here for about the last 12 years, every year. But the funny thing is, when I was playing pro tennis way back in the day in my previous life, I'm almost 50 now, this is back in my late 20s, I would come out to California to train up in Bakersfield, just north of here, like an hour north. I was working with a coach up there named Hank Pfister, and on weekends I would come down here to church. And our family had been impacted by the preaching of Dr. MacArthur since, you know, my youngest days. My mother, my father, I mean, we're all a product of our influences. He's really influenced our family. So I will come down here and go to church on Sundays, and there was something going on called the Shepherd's Conference.
That's it.
And I had no idea what the Shepherd's Conference was. I was young, and I didn't know really what it was, but they'd talk about it on Sundays. I never attended it, and lo and behold, years later, here I am at the Shepherd's Conference.
Here you are. So we've had you on our show. You've had me on your show many times. times. I love your program. We play it on the Truth Network. I know it's on a lot of stations that carry Truth Talk Weekend, the Christian Worldview. Quick shout out, just 20 seconds on that show, the emphasis of that, so folks can know about it.
Well, this is our 15th year, so the Lord's been blessed us for sure to still be able to do it every weekend. And really the program focuses on, you know, the believer has a lot of things coming at us in life, you know, whether it's, you know, just more social things, relational, like family, whether it's theological issues going on in the church, the culture, the country, you name it. We have to have a biblical worldview and understand how to think biblically about all the issues of our day so that we can then live accordingly. And that's what we try to do in the program every week, whether interviewing someone like you on your two books that we had you on for, which you really liked a lot, or other issues going on in our culture. So it's been a privilege to be a part of your network, Stu.
Well, thank you, man. Well, and I'm going to tell you, the book you wrote, University of Destruction, it's a must-read for every kid coming out of high school preparing for college, right, effectively?
It is. You know, college is like a killing field, or it can be a killing field for kids who grow up in a Christian home. But it also can be a great time of growth, too. It's a really testing environment, but you have to be prepared. You can't go into it not grounded with a biblical worldview. Otherwise, you're going to be short work for the professors, whether on secular college campuses or, by the way, Christian college campuses as well. If you go to a liberal Christian college, that's even more consuming or confusing for young people.
Might be Christian in name only, but may not have a true, right. Might not be maybe a little C, not a big C Christian.
That's
right?
Exactly right. And so I really recommend that book to parents to go through it, not after their senior year of high school, something you want to go through, you know, in 9th, 10th.
Start them early, right?
Yes, very much.
Fantastic. So David Wheaton, tennis pro, talk show host, University of Destruction, you wrote a second book. Tell us that real quick about your dog, a great journey, but also a great way to people to love dogs to get people to Christ.
Yeah, my boy Ben is the second book. It's about a yellow lab that I had back in my tennis playing days. And the book is ostensibly a dog book, but really what it is, it's a book about God's grace and our trials told through the story of having a dog. And so I would commend it to someone who's a dog lover or someone who's ever gone through a hard trial in life.
That's tremendous. David Wheaton, I've got John Cox here, a pastor from Fresno, both influenced by John MacArthur deeply. Kirk Welch, who's been pastoring. How long have you been pastoring, Pastor Kirk?
Good gracious. 25 years.
Unbelievable, man. I mean, we're used to mixing it up on the court, but, you know, you're preaching the word every week. I want to do this quick. I want to do a quick corral wrap-up here. A lot of folks listening aren't able to make it to the Shepherd's Conference. A lot of them have heard John MacArthur preach and whatnot. What's your challenge right now to both pastors out there about being shepherds and feeding their flock, studying the word, feeding their flock, being men of integrity, and to people out there looking for a church where they're going to get fed? I hear that all the time. I love my church, but I'm just not fed. I'm going to start with you, Kirk, and then I'm going to go to John, Pastor John Cox, and then to David Wheaton, and we'll wrap up the segment. Just tell your challenge out there in the deep hunger that's being fed here by all these guys coming out here.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's easy to take for granted that there's a good church everywhere. But if you find one where you have a pastor who's serious about study and he's really giving himself to the work and the labor to know the word and be faithful in communicating it, man, that's a place you got to stay. And we all need to be taught. We all need to be encouraged through the word. That's what this week is about for me. It's hearing God's word preached and my soul being fed, which makes me then more equipped to feed the people in my church under my care. Today was great, just being challenged in regard to humility. And not promoting myself and branding myself and getting caught up in that stuff, but really just understanding the priority of the Word of God and my role to preach and feed the flock. So I would challenge any pastor, make that the primary effort of your labor. There's so many things you can do, and you can get distracted with all kinds of other things that are secondary. But don't neglect the careful study of the Word of God and being ready to feed your people.
Strong. Pastor John Cox, your quick word.
Yeah, I think in our quest for significance, people are looking for significance, and you know, God is working just as much where you are as He is right here. And one of the big things here is that understanding that we are defined by Christ. I think one of the biggest problems is we live more by how we're described as opposed to how we're defined. and in our description. We live more by, you know, if I'm a pastor or what I'm doing, what I've found in this world. But the reality is that, you know, we've been defined by Christ, and that's enough. Is our identity in Him is sufficient. And, you know, being in a church and being in a place that preaches Christ alone, and but not and again, not just giving you truth, but shepherding truth is so key to remain faithful.
Okay, we're at the 50-year anniversary of John MacArthur's pulpit ministry. We're at the Shepherd's Conference at Grace Community Church in Southern California, where it all began. David Wheaton, take us home. We only have like 30 seconds, and then we gotta go on this segment.
It's hard to finish after these guys, but I would just say, as someone who's been involved in the church for a long time, I think what true believers want is what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And then here's this repetition. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. That is the situation today in the American evangelical church, and we need to get back. The only thing that changes people is the Holy Spirit working through the preaching of the word. How will they hear if there's not a preacher? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ.
David Wheaton, John Cox, three men of God, one talk show host, two pastors, Kirk Welch. Thank you guys, and stay in the word. This is so important. And you know, thank you. Thank God for men like John MacArthur. You may not love him. Maybe you're not with him. But there's people out there, you know, that whatever. But hey, be grateful for the contribution he's made to challenge us all.
Very good.
To be men of the book, right, David?
I know you are a man of the book. You know, when you speak on our program, I hear you say, you make a point and you say, you back it up with the word of Scripture. That means Scripture is filtering through you, and that's what we all need to be, more men of the book. And that's what MacArthur has been. He's a very gracious person, and he's been a person who's showed a lot of biblical convictions against the drift that's going on today.
Amen. Learn more. We'll do the podcast out there, and learn more at truthnetwork.com and about Truth Talk Weekend, and follow us on Twitter. We'll put some pictures on Facebook, too, of this huge conference. Stu Everson in Southern California, and I'm sitting in a seminary. That's right, folks, a seminary, not a cemetery, a seminary. There's living, breathing anointing and the power of God here. John MacArthur started his work in a pulpit not too far from here. Mark MacArthur, you're John's son. John MacArthur's been a regular guest on Truth Talk Weekend, Truth Talk Live, the Truth Network, many of the stations that carry this program. But this is an interesting moment because we're at the Shepherd's Conference. By the time people hear this program on podcast or on the Truth Network or on all of our awesome affiliates, like the Wilkins Radio Network, we'll be gone and you'll be home, I'll be home. But we're here right now. It's just fascinating. All these guys walking by with Bibles and stuff in this room, the Word of God. I mean, tell me your feeling as you were just a little brat. You know, we were just little guys when all this was going on.
Yeah. No, my dad got here. I was literally newly born. My dad's been here 50 years. So it's really all I've ever known. People ask me all the time, what's it like to be part of all of this? And what's it like to be John MacArthur's son? And my response is, well, I don't know what it's like not to be.
Do you have a Greek response to that and a Hebrew response to that question?
Yeah. No, I don't. You know, it's very normal to me. And Dad always made our life and his work here seamless between how we lived our life and how we did church. So church life, family life, fun life, sports life, it was never different. There was never a different language. There was never a different expectation. There was never anything different. So for us, being on the campus, growing up around the church, being around people of the church, all of our friends were primarily from the church. That was normal to us. It never felt awkward, and it never felt forced, and it never felt required because, like I said, it was never different than the rest of our life.
And we went to Masters University together, Masters College, then now it's Masters University. You were a baseball guy. I was a basketball guy. And you actually, I rode with you many times to and from Grace Church because I didn't have my own car. So you were gracious to, you know, Julie and myself, all our friends ran around together. But to be here in this moment, just celebrating 50 years, Martin Lloyd-Jones, I took a picture. I'll put it on my Instagram.
That's an incredible gift.
Okay, what in the world? That is sitting right behind us. Tell everyone what that is.
So on the actual Sunday of the 50th day anniversary, the grandson or one of the grandchildren of Martin Lloyd-Jones came and actually gifted Dad and our family what they call a prayer table. And it's just a very small table that clearly was designed to hold a Bible. And from what we understand, I met Mr. Catherwood who came from the Martin Lloyd Joint Trust family and donated this small desk, and it was a prayer desk, and it was something that he used regularly, from what we understand, to just basically get on his knees and pray before the Lord and read the scriptures. So really an invaluable gift. It's hard to even calculate what that means to their family and now what it means to ours.
Yeah, and paint the picture. We're inside of a lobby, very beautiful floors. There's a library with volumes and volumes of books, I guess theological books and volumes. And then you've got this big screen, and there's little Mark when you were just a little guy up there.
So what they've done, I mean, one of the legacies of for Dad, that whether it was intentional or unintentional, is now this training of men. So one of the things that's clearly established on the church is just it's infused with this idea of study, research, training, and it's all part of what Dad's legacy is built up. And so they've done a really phenomenal job of essentially captivating that through media, through videos, through pictures, through some of the paraphernalia. And I'm looking at the microphone from probably one of his like 6 millionth tape that they sent out
tape. Now the younger folks, like our kids and younger, they don't know what that is. That's a foreign object to them.
Yeah, when I tell my kids that we actually had to turn the tapes over to the second side, remember? And then then they count the ones that played it reverse, and you could actually...
Before you could automate it, right?
Right.
Push a little button.
Yeah.
And then you could pick a... You know, you're listening to a cassette tape. This is really crazy. You're listening to a song, you know. Christian, you know, Steve Green, something, I don't know, whatever. And you push reverse, and it'll start it in the middle of whatever song's on the other side.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So
that's pretty risky right there.
You know? I think Keith Green was like the first tape I ever bought, and that was just like so awesome. Yeah.
You can put it in and it plays a bunch of songs. So your dad had some when they stopped doing cassette tapes, he had some 1 or 2 million. What was the number? Just crazy number.
Oh, I think it's two or maybe more. Yeah. A couple million.
So there's 4,500 people. Someone said there's like 4,000 people here. I don't know the number, but there's just a massive amount of, there's a sea of pastors carrying these books, this Bible. And they're going in and they're packing. There's an overflow. Someone just showed me the back of the badge. There's like a seating chart.
Yeah, it's color-coded. So the way they do it is that there's actually more guys here than the sanctuary can functionally hold. And so what they do is they color-code it so that essentially every guy gets to be in the main session for, I think, two-thirds of the sessions. And they rotate them. They've got video overflow. And then they've got another video. They got two video overflows that you can basically watch live feed of the session.
Okay, so this is the Shepherds Conference. It's an annual event, and it literally is that. Shepherds from all over. R.C. Sproul, when he was living, would speak. His ministry is here. A lot of the guys, a lot of the pastors, Steve Lawson, a lot of major, Al Mohler's been here. All these guys come. And effectively, what happens here over the next couple of days, Mark? Set it up. Mark MacArthur, son of John MacArthur, we're talking about this legacy. Just celebrated 50 years in the pulpit of Grace Community Church, teaching the Word of God verse by verse faithfully. But what is the essence of what happens here?
So when it first started, the Shepherds Conference was really designed to be a pastor's conference. And then over the years, what happened is guys would come and they'd say, boy, I want to bring some of my men from my church, some of my deacons, some of my elders. I want to bring my youth guy. And so over the years, this is the 46th Shepherds Conference, but not 46 years. Okay. So they used to do them multiple times a year. Okay. They used to do them regionally. So I don't know exactly what number in a row. I'm sure it's 20 plus, but or more. But in essence, what it is, it becomes a kind of a fraternity of guys that are like-minded, that love the Word of God. They love preaching expositorially. They love studying expositorially. Mm-hmm. And so they just come together, and they've built friendships over the years. So for a lot of these guys, it's a chance to come back, be with their good friends, like-minded men. It recharges them. Some of the guys, they get so busy talking, they actually don't even go into the sessions, because the church here will have over 1,000 volunteers this week. So 1,000 people from our church will take the week either off of work or away from their families, or they'll bring their kids to serve the food. And it's incredible. It's for some guys, I think it's the pinnacle of their year, because they come from a small rural area that they just don't have this kind of fellowship at that level. And they're serving and ministering, and they get to come here, and it's like a big break. It's like a big, It's fun. I think for these guys, it's fun.
So many stations listening to my voice right now. Kerry, Grace to You with John MacArthur. It's been on the radio for years. John's celebrating 50 years in the pulpit. My mom and dad, you know, would bring me here to church when I was a little guy, and I'd see you, the youth group. It was a lot of fun. A lot smaller then, you know. It's like, it's interesting how it's there's a, they've taken over this whole area. But a real tribute to the Word of God. But Mark MacArthur, describe for me, if you would, so when I say the name John MacArthur, you know, who knows what reaction I'm going to get? For some folks, it's like, oh, my soul, I've been listening to that guy in the Word, and he built me up. He's my spiritual father in a way. Yeah. Shepherd, you know, so, you know, you got 4,000 plus years, you know, just absolutely eating every word. But other people, you know, they're like, oh, you know, that guy, you know, he's a little bit rough, or he throws a shot over the bow once in a while, right? Hits the charismatics over here, hits the guys over here that are too seeker-friendly. You know, there's, you know, but you grew up in the home with this guy, yeah. right? So yeah. you grew up. So tell me about John MacArthur. Tell everyone, what picture would you want to portray of John MacArthur, your dad, from the lips of Mark MacArthur, like in terms of if you were describing to other people and just kind of his heart as well?
You know, I've explained to people, it's interesting you say that because I've had a chance to think about that with the 50th, and we've had a lot of various things happen, you know, within the family with kids getting married or grandkids getting married. And, you know, Dad and I are pretty close. I try to talk to Dad almost every day and just check in with him. You know, he's not a young chicken anymore. You know, he's going to be 80 this summer. And so, you know, for me, to have a person in my life who is both my pastor, my dad, kind of my mentor, and somebody that I just really enjoy being around, and then knowing that I have access to someone that, frankly, most people don't, that's very special to me. I'm exceptionally thankful for that. But the way I've described it to people is, you know, if you've never had a chance to meet him in person or you don't know, growing up, it was very what I consider to be normal. You know, I used to, you know, introduce Dad to some of my unsafe friends. You know, I played a lot of baseball, so when I was playing minor league baseball, we'd go and Dad would come and visit, and some of my buddies would get really nervous because they knew he was a man of the cloth. Well, they really didn't know what to think. But and I remember one of my friends said to me one time, "Wow, he's really nice and actually really normal." And I said, "Well, what were you expecting?" He says, I felt like I was going to be really uncomfortable, and I wasn't. So the way I explain it to people is, if I could describe it, I would say that Dad is a person with exceptionally deep conviction based on the Word of God, but extremely wide grace. And people tend to fall on one side or the other of those. It takes a lot of maturity and a lot of lack of fear of man, sure. right? If you really fear God and you don't fear man, then that probably is the goal. It's, Lord, I want to be really strong in my understanding of you and my convictions around Scripture, but I want to give really a lot of grace and let the Word of God do the work. And so that's the way I describe Dad. He's a man of exceptionally deep conviction. You are not going to get him to change his mind to make you happy. It's not going to happen. But he's the most non-judgmental person I've ever been around as an adult. He just is not judgmental.
So the program's called Grace to You, and you've seen a lot of grace in John MacArthur's life firsthand as a kid. Now, it's hard for a kid to say that about his dad. That's pretty strong.
I said, we had rules, and if you broke the rules, you got punished. It was very black and white, you know. And so we always knew that there were certain lines you just don't cross, and when you do, there was a penalty. But it was never demeaning or punitive. And so when I describe Dad, I just describe him as an extremely kind person who has extremely deep convictions.
Stu Epperson from the Shepherd's Conference on the campus of Grace Community Church and the Master's Seminary. And that, you just heard the account of John MacArthur's son, Mark MacArthur, his youngest son. Now, you're the youngest child. You've got a younger sister, right?
There's four of us. So I'm number three of the four. So it goes boy, girl, and my older brother, older sister, and then I have a younger sister.
Okay, so these are pastors from all over the world that are coming here to this.
And men. There's deacons, there's laymen, there's pastors, okay. And they're coming from all over the world.
David Wheaton's a talk show host. And I said, David, I'm expecting him to have a kit, a crew, you know, cameras, you know, all this. He says, Stu, I got my Bible, I got my hat on.
He comes with his brother every year.
And he just sponges the word in. He's just like, I want to hear these guys. I want to be grounded in the word for my talk show. There's another pastor here named Sean Harrelson. Now, Sean went to the Masters University with you and me back in the day. And he's going to come over here and tell us a quick Mark MacArthur story. God wants to keep you humble today, Mark.
I don't know if I want to hear it.
Tell the story real quick. Talk right into that mic right now.
Well, it's a legend at the Masters College. One of our great rivals is Westmont College up in Santa Barbara, California. Postseason soccer play, my buddies and I show up to the game. We're decked out. We're ready to go. And there in the middle of Westmont's field is the Masters College. Now it's the university. Then it was the college. The Masters College logo in the middle of Westmont Field. We started chuckling. Everybody loved it. Westmont fans were obviously very peeved. And of course, the rumor started spreading through the crowd. Wow. Mark MacArthur and I don't know who the crew was.
The statutes of limitations run out of that, Mark. It's been a few years. Or was the M just an upside down W?
I don't know that they ever know who did it, but we went up in the middle of the night and painted this huge, and I'm not talking a small, I mean it was like half the size of the middle of the field, blue M. Yeah, that was great. We lost the game. I remember we lost that game. It was a playoff game. But man alive, that was hilarious.
Your dad was at that game, if I recall.
I think he probably was.
So, Sean, real quick, you pastor where? And what's so awesome about the Shepherd's Conference for you real quick?
You know, well, I pastor in the Seattle area, Crossway Fellowship in Lynnwood, Washington. I went to seminary here. I went to the Master's College, of course. It's just great to be here. John MacArthur's had a great impact on my life and my ministry, starting from when I was a freshman in high school. Even my dad listened to Grace to You. I was really hungry to understand the truth. He gave me a set of tapes, the Believer's Armor from Ephesians 6, and I just ate it up. I was a geeky high school student who spent his Friday nights with a little Panasonic recorder taking notes and listening to John MacArthur. So anyway, it's been a long time. I've heard a lot of sermons, a lot of messages. Just glad to be here.
Yeah, and the legacy, really, and your dad would say this point blank. If he's sitting right here, he's going to say, this isn't about John MacArthur. This is about God's Word.
Yeah,
and I want you in that spirit, Mark MacArthur and Sean, even as we wrap up this quick podcast here, this interview, what's your challenge out there to pastors? We got, you know, the book of, was it Hosea, says there's a famine in the land, but it's a famine for the lack of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And guys just aren't studying. I want you to think about the answer, Mark. Sean, you just spoke. What's your challenge to pastors out there about getting, opening that book and quit teaching books about the Bible and quit teaching your own little application, but teach the Word, preach the Word. What's your challenge?
Yeah, I think it is to have an unwavering commitment to the authority of Scripture. That is the fundamental, and to me, it is the heartbeat of John MacArthur's ministry and the seminary and the college.
Mark, what would you say to pastors? What would you say to both pastors out there about shepherding, feeding the flock, and also people looking for a church? I talk to people all the time. Oh, I can't find a church. I'm not being fed. What's your challenge out there?
Well, I agree with Sean. You know, we had a little meeting yesterday, and Dad was talking about some different things, and he made a comment, almost in a kind of a throwaway comment, but I think it said a lot. And he was talking about the fact that you have to believe that the power of God's Word is the most power to change a life. And if you're not a believer, the words of Scripture, God will use those to ignite the work of the Spirit in your life. And if you understand illumination and you believe that God still allows people to see God in Scripture by the truth of Scripture, it doesn't really matter what I think it says. What did God mean for it to say? What does God want it to say? And what does it mean from God? And I think for a lot of us, we have to, myself included, is remind ourselves as we go to Scripture is there is power in the Word of God. That the truth of Christ and the words of God in Scripture can transform. It's able to pierce, you know, marrow from bone. I mean, I don't know that we always believe that, because we have so many tools. We were talking about this with somebody earlier. You know, I was with a young guy that's in seminary, and he wanted to see Dad's office. And Dad has no computers. They just got Wi-Fi at their house recently, and he doesn't do anything through computers. And he says, I feel really convicted, because today I can Google things and not really ever contemplate what I'm doing. And so it was really neat. So I would challenge guys is spend time in the Word and you know, spend a long time in the Word, and let God do His work in your mind and your heart through the Word, not reading 1,000 things about the Word.
Yeah, if you've never heard John MacArthur teach or preach, just tune in one of these stations, the Wilkins Radio Network, the Truth Network stations that carry this program. You also have the stations in northern Florida, Jacksonville, yep. 91.7 FM, carry Grace to You with John MacArthur. Verse-by-verse teaching through God's Word. You've been hearing it for a long time, haven't you, Mark?
Yeah, well, my whole life, literally.
You could probably preach that Ephesians chapter 6 armor of God message, couldn't you?
Yeah, you know what? I have some favorites. In fact, I just mentioned to a friend of mine just last week, I don't say this a lot, but Dad actually very seldom recycles his sermons, even now at 80. He'll be 80 this summer. You know, he preached today, and I listened to the sermon this morning. I've never heard that sermon before.
Come on.
Yeah, so he doesn't recycle them. He might use information, but he likes the study part more than he likes the preaching part.
Good gracious. That's something, man.
And I've heard your dad say from up front that part of the reason he doesn't recycle is a consequence of being in the same place for as long as he's been. Because
if you have three suits and three sermons, they won't be on to you. Like,
yeah,
you
know, they'll want something different.
Yeah, and he would come preach at the college and just light us up over there too. Wouldn't
yeah, absolutely. Chapel? Yep, yeah. Yep.
So this is a celebration, 50 years in the pulpit, John MacArthur, and this is the Shepherd's Conference, which is really this get together. There's a little bit more intense interest this year because of all this, the anniversary and all that.
Yeah.
And it is.
It's been fun. You know, the church has been wonderfully kind to Dad. You know, there's families here that have been here all 50. In fact, two of the charter families of this church, the church was about 12 years old when Dad got here, 13 years old. And so there's families that have been here. There's elders that have been on the elder board for a good chunk of that time and still biblically qualified. In fact, I ran into the guy that bought this property. The man that bought, he was a construction guy. This was a chicken farm. He bought this property before Dad got here, and he's out there serving food to the pastors. He's 90, and he's here every single week.
And Aunt Jeanette's here somewhere. I gotta give her a hug. She was my mom's best friend. My mom got saved in your granddad's church, and your dad and them all ran around together and went to Bob Jones together.
Yeah, that's a whole other story, but yeah, absolutely.
And there's still a place for you at Bob Jones University now, Mark.
Yeah, right.
But that was something else.
It was great.
Anyway, God bless you, man. What a deal. Yep, from the campus of Grace Community Church, a master's seminary, celebrating the legacy of God's Word. And the challenge to everyone out there is read the Word, study the Word, memorize the Word, meditate on the Word, preach the Word.
Value it.
Value it, yeah.
Value it, and all those things will happen.
Yeah. And that's a high view of God's Word, believing that it is really the Word of God, and the Word of God, it changes the souls. It's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. So we're going to take a picture by that plaque that talks about the work of the Word, and then I'll tweet that out to everybody, okay?
Yes,
on my social media. Hey, how about this? Social media, the Word. Right?
That's, yeah, exactly.